Listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Join us for our weekly broadcast, His Abounding Grace, with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m., join Reverend Gwendolyn Dixon for the Midday Glory Prayer Line. The dial-in number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you. That's with Pastor Paul Morgan of Chosen Generation Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. On Thursdays, live at 12 noon, join Reverend Pat Randall for Declaring the Finished Work for an hour of worship, exhortation, and prayer. Reverend Ray and friends are here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. with the Joy of the Lord on Friday Night Joy. Sundays at 7 p.m., join Reverend Ray for Bread of Life for a Word in Season. And don't forget our monthly broadcast. First Mondays of every month at 7 p.m., be blessed with the teaching ministry of Apostle Shirley Jones on Lifeline. On third Mondays at 7 p.m., join Evangelist Lewis McElwain for Adoration, a broadcast of worship and ministries on the mission field. Second Saturdays of the month, join Reverend Curtis, Reverend Novena, and Minister Jordana for Bold and Beautiful, a youth and young adult broadcast setting the world on fire with the love of Jesus. And on fourth Saturdays, Alabaster Box at 7 p.m. with Prophetess Carla Johnson, where she shares a broad range of topics to help believers persevere and overcome. All broadcast times are Eastern Standard Time.
Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good.
As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Oh,
Greetings, greetings, greetings. Good afternoon, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Praise him, for he is worthy to be praised. Welcome to Declaring the Finished Work. Here we are again. And my prayer is that we're not in the same place that we were last week, but that we have moved into a new place in the Lord, that we are continually growing and being filled with all fullness. Amen and amen. Well, I'll be continuing on today in this series, Elevation in Love. As I said, this is a message that I delivered in January at the top of the year that came through a prophetic word that the Lord ministered to me on New Year's Eve of 2016. Praise God. Amen and amen. So today's message is this particular part three is Elevation in Love, Free to Love. That's what we're going to be focusing on in this message. Free to Love, where the spirit of love is, because God is love. So where the spirit of love is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Glory to God. Amen. And we thank God that he is continuously breaking down those things, hallelujah, and removing them that is keeping us from walking in the liberty that Christ purchased for us through the shedding of his blood on that cross. Before I start this message, I want to remind you that tomorrow night, please join Reverend Ray and friends for Friday Night Joy. It is always a joyous and a wonderful broadcast on those Friday nights. Amen. And that 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then he's back here with us on Sunday for Bread of Life at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we are fast approaching that second Saturday of the month, and our youth and young adult broadcast airs on that Saturday morning at 10 a.m., Bold and Beautiful. So join Reverend Curtis, Reverend Novena, and Minister Jordana for a lively discussion, hey, amen, about the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. So praise God. I am going to stop now and be blessed through this word. Allow God to speak to your heart. Strengthen you by his words. In Jesus' name, amen. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you. Lord, we just thank you for loving us. You have loved us with an everlasting love, that there is nothing that can ever separate us from the love of God. We exalt you this afternoon. We lift up your name, for you are high above the heavens and high above the earth. There is none greater than you. We thank you that your word goes forth with power to accomplish the very purposes for which they have been sent. So we thank you, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would prepare our minds and our hearts to hear and receive the words of the Lord. I thank you that this message will go forth unhindered, that it will bring life, liberty, joy, peace, love, that it will rejuvenate, reinvigorate, and bring unexplainable peace. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we are again, continuing on our journey of elevation in love. And for those of you who have not been following this particular series, this is a word that was given to me on New Year's Eve from the Lord. It was one of the words that was given to me. And so I am allowing the Holy Spirit to show me the direction and the revelation for this word that was spoken. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, I shared the definition for the verb elevate. And I'll recite it again. Amen. It means to lift up, to increase the level, to make higher, and to transport. Glory to God. Now, as we know, in the English language, a verb is an action word. But the action is not our action, but the action is of the Lord. He is saying to us in 2017 that there is going to be an elevation in his love, agape love, this divine love. He will be the one that will lift it up, increase the level, make higher, and transport. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a good word. What a good word. And what I love about the Father is that he's a good, good Father, first of all. And he has prepared everything before us, just like in the beginning, in the garden, he had created everything, and then he sat man in the midst of everything that he had done, and then gave him dominion and authority over these created things, and instructed him to take care of it. Amen. Praise God. So, through his Son, Christ Jesus, once again, this place has been prepared for us. This promised land has been promised and fulfilled through his Son, Christ Jesus. It's a finished work on the cross. His final words was, "It is finished." He carried out everything that had been placed in his care to do. And in fulfilling that purpose, he experienced sorrow, rejection, persecution. But he kept his eye on the joy that was set before us, and that was in restoring the family of man to God, removing the wall of separation, which was sin. Hallelujah. Let's go to, first let me share the title of this week's. This is actually part four of Elevation in Love. And this particular part is Free to Love. Free to Love. Hallelujah. Free to Love. All right, I want you to go with me to Peter chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Glory to God. This is the season of the Lord's favor. Jesus Christ ushered in this season of grace. Hallelujah. I believe the bondage and the captivity we experience in this life is the inability to see and receive God's love. And therefore, we are unable to express God's love to others. It is only in the development of a personal relationship with the Lord do we begin to grow in the knowledge of this great love that he has for us, the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of this love that he has for us, that he so loved the world. That's in John 3, start in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved for what? Saved to be in relationship with the Father. Saved to be in this perfect communion and fellowship with him. Saved to be one with him. Saved to be free of the sin that separated us. It has all been done through his only begotten Son. And this word begotten means single of its kind. It's an only kind, a first kind. So what Jesus brought into this world was something that didn't exist before. He was the only begotten Son because there was none before him, none like him. It is the only one of its kind. Hallelujah. The good news is that he is referred to as the last Adam. The last Adam. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45 says, "The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit." So when we were born again, we were filled with a life-giving spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. We are the offspring of the last Adam. Just like we were the offspring of that first Adam, when we are born again, we become the offspring of the last Adam, Christ Jesus. John 12, verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." This is Jesus speaking, and he's using a natural example or a parable to explain a spiritual matter. So he's saying that if I don't die and go into the earth and be raised from the dead, I will not bear the fruit. And the fruit is you and I who believe. We are the fruit of this last Adam. We are the offspring of this last Adam. That's why the term came into being, born again. Our first birth was through that Adam that was a living being. But now we are born again to this last Adam, who is a life-giving spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. And the amazing thing is that this last Adam was God. I'm going to read Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 4. The main verse that I want to focus on is 6, but this section is just so good. In fact, I would love to read this whole chapter, but praise God. I'm going to read just a few verses starting in 4. "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Praise him, praise him, praise him. I'm going to go back up to verse 4. I hadn't planned on focusing on that particular verse, but I do want to, because I'm being reminded of a revelation from a few weeks ago. So let me just read that verse 4. It says, "Let each of you look not only on his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have his mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." That was verse 5, but I'm just going to zoom in on here. "Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." And what I saw and what I see among the body of Christ, that we are much more concerned about our own interests. We're concerned about our religious freedoms. No man can give us religious freedoms. Our freedom comes from Christ. So it doesn't matter if we were born in a communist country like China or some other country where there's a dictator or an atheist country. Well, I won't just start naming off countries, but you know. We are free. We are free, and that freedom cannot be taken from us. We may be persecuted for our faith, even martyred for our faith. But we don't have to fear someone who can take the life of this physical body. We have to be concerned about the one, our enemy, who is a soul stealer. He's a robber of souls, the souls of men. And so we're so busy looking at trying to protect our rights and our interests and what we laws that we think should be implemented, that we're not thinking about those who are lost. Those who feel that these particular laws give them certain rights that they should have as individuals and as humans. Not that we have to agree with them, but that we're not so consumed with our rights as believers that we lose sight of why Jesus came to seek the lost and has given us who believe the ministry of reconciliation. That is our foremost call. Paul talked about being able to be I'm going to have to paraphrase it, being all things to all men. And it doesn't mean that you're compromising your faith, but that you are able to lay down your life and pick up your brother's life and feed into that need. Feed into that need, whether it's through love, compassion, mercy, whatever. Lives are changed by the goodness of God. It is His goodness that leads people to repentance. Let me keep moving because that is not what my message is about, but I just wanted to focus in on that because we have a tendency to be very self-centered, even as Christians. We're thinking about us, and we have more liberties in even in the natural than a lot of countries. And we have been blessed by being born in this country. But now in a time when the darkness is filling the earth, this is not a time to be fearful. The world is fearful, but this is not a time for us to be fearful because we have the truth. We have the truth that makes us free. Only truth makes us free. Glory to God. But here we see in these verses also is that he came, he who was in the form of God, made a decision to empty himself and take on the form of a servant and be born in the likeness of men. That is a great expression of love. He came and dwelt among us, this sinful creation. And he came in the form of a servant. And he came in our likeness. And he gave his life so that we might have life. The most unselfish act, the most unselfish act, that he would lay down his life, that he would even call us friend. Hallelujah. That is the life of Christ. Walking among the lost. It's so easy to just see someone sinning and say, you need to stop sinning. This is evil. You're going to go to hell. But to say this without acknowledging that they can't just stop, but they need a Savior. That there is a Savior who loves you and whose desire is that none should go to hell, has come down right where you are. And also, we need to remember that even after salvation, we still continue to sin. We still continue to sin. We may not practice sin as we did before salvation, but we are going through this process of letting go of thought patterns that belong to the old man and habits and acts that belong to the old man as we move and transition into the new creation, living in this newness of life. While Jesus was here on the earth, he judged strongly. But who he strongly judged was the self-righteous. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is the great abomination. When accusing others of sin becomes more important than loving them, I say to you that you are self-righteous. It is not the way of Christ. As I said earlier, Jesus came, and while he was here, he suffered rejection and persecution when he was only expressing love. He was expressing love, and he was met with rejection and persecution. So if he was met with that in his expression of love, so shall we. Part of walking in love is humility. in that chapter of Philippians, it says, though he was God, he did not consider it robbery to lower himself. He humbled himself and took on the personage of a servant. Humility. Love is the motivation for humility. It is what causes us to humble ourselves. What I love is the impact that God's love has on our emotions and our thoughts. It removes the shame and the fear and the despair and the sorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we look at some of these stories in the New Testament, like the woman who was caught in adultery, she had to be fearful because the judgment would have been that she was stoned to death. And what did Jesus say? He who is without sin, cast the first stone. They all had to walk away. All of them. And she was left there alone with Jesus. He said, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, I have none. And he says, now go and sin no more. He loved her into freedom. It dispelled the fear of persecution. Had she committed the sin of adultery? Yes. But he forgave her. And commissioned her to walk a life and sin no more. That love empowered her. It touched her emotions and her thoughts. She was a changed woman when she walked away. Also, the tax collector that was up in the tree. Zacchaeus. That God would choose to go into this man's home. Come down quickly, he said. Right away, I need to go to your home. This love that Zacchaeus encountered changed him, changed how he thought. He was now ready, instead of thinking thoughts of how I can rob people, he's ready to restore back to those he robbed from. Even more than what he robbed. And to give to the poor. To give to the poor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the woman, I mean, there's so many wonderful stories. The leper who he said, he asked to, how did that question go? I know you can heal me, but will you heal me? And, you know, are you willing to heal me? And he looked at the leper and not just looked at him because he didn't have to touch him, but he touched him. That which is untouchable, according to the law, he touched this man and he healed him. He didn't ask him why this had come upon him. He looked upon him with love. With this compassion and this forgiving spirit. And he touched him and made him whole. The woman with the issue of blood spent all her money going from doctor to doctor to doctor until she had used all of her financial avenue for seeking healing. Everything that was within her power to do with the money that she had, she tried to do, and yet she still had not received healing. But she heard about a man. Hallelujah. She heard about a man whose love was so great that he was touching sinners and healing them. But obviously she felt like maybe I'm not good enough to face him. And I'm breaking the law by even being out here among these people. But I know if I just even just touch his garment, I'll be healed. And she was instantaneously healed. But Jesus went a step further. He didn't just let her walk away with her healing. He let her walk away in dignity. He said to this woman, your faith, because of what that you believed in me, is why you are healed. Hallelujah. He acknowledged her. There are many people around him. Hallelujah. His eye is on us like his eye is on the sparrow. The encounter that Paul had on the road of Damascus changed him. He had this encounter with love. And the fact that the Lord would choose him to be a disciple and used him powerfully. Glory to God. To love others and to bring them to Christ. The story of the prodigal son, the father receiving the prodigal son, someone who left the household of the father. Not just leave asking for his inheritance, let me take that with me. For the sole purpose of squandering it on himself and whatever he wanted to do. And he came to lack. He chose to go back to his father's house, but he was willing to go back as a servant because he didn't think he would be accepted as a son. How did that story end? This is a story that Jesus is telling because he wants us to realize how much the Father loves us and that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are as high as the heavens are from the earth. He received this son when he returned with great celebration. Great celebration. Hallelujah. As I was saying, his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not ours. Much higher. Because God sees our hearts. In the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus shared this story, this parable, to demonstrate how love shows up. And this Jew who'd been robbed and beat near to death and left on the side of the road in a ditch. And the religious man passed by, the priest and the Levite. And they were Jews. Those were his brothers. Part of the people that God had chosen, the chosen people. And the very man, a Samaritan, the ones that they avoided and who they felt were like dogs and they despised them so much they wouldn't even walk through their town. They'd go around it even if it was the long way. This man, who in the eyes of the Jews, God's chosen people, was like pond scum. This man's heart was filled with compassion and mercy, and he helped this Jew. He helped someone who possibly hated him, and if he wasn't near death, probably wouldn't talk to him and wouldn't want him to touch him. The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan doesn't always look the way we think, because we judge on outward appearance, outward actions. You can pretend. Your actions can say one thing, but in your heart, who you really are, God sees that. The claim that was unbearable to the religious sects was that Jesus said he was the Son of God, because they expected someone who would be like them, who would be critically judging the sinner and separating himself from them. And implementing the law. But he didn't come like that. He didn't represent the Father that way. He represented the Father in love, compassion, mercy, kindness. So this is what I put to you. If your ministry, and I don't mean it has to be an organization, but your life is a ministry, because you have the ministry of reconciliation. We all do as believers. So if your ministry does not look like Christ, then it is not of God, but from the heart of man. Things that come from the heart of man will always be limited. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 7, starting in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works, many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. He called it lawlessness. He called it lawlessness because they were not doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. They thought because they were prophesying and casting out demons and doing these great works. But with the absence of the spirit of love makes it a loud sounding cymbal, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Just clanging noise, just show and tell. But there's no real depth to it. There's no eternal value to it. Today we're talking about free to love. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So if the Spirit of the Lord is present, we know because He is love, that love is present. So wherever love is present, there is liberty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This liberty that comes with the spirit of love, which in Peter it tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love. Law. This is not of our own doing and our own making. We can't, there's nothing that we can't pray enough or whatever enough to make us righteous or make us loving. We have to receive what Christ has done. Christ has done this thing. His spirit is on the inside of us, and it is by faith that we lay hold of this promise that we have a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of a sound mind. By faith, by believing what God has said, what God has done is truth. Jesus is the new covenant, a covenant of love. God's desire is to have a love relationship with his children. Glory to God. It is the truth that makes us free. And the truth says that I have the spirit of love. Not my love, God's love. God's love. And because I have the spirit of love, I am free to forgive. I am free from condemnation. I am free to give. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm free to be merciful and compassionate. I'm free because of what my Lord and Savior has done. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He bore all the sins of the world. He was beaten until he was unrecognizable. He never cursed them. He never spouted out hate against them. He even, in the midst of hanging on the cross, he says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." This is the love that has been imparted to us. It's a free gift. It's an inheritance. And God is saying here in 2017, I am releasing an elevation in love, because I want you to be free. I want you to be free, my children. My love makes you free, for my love never fails. My love holds no account of offense. It is not boastful and prideful. It's not haughty and puffed up. It doesn't rejoice at evil works. It's kind and it's patient. This is our inheritance. This is what has been prepared for us. This is true liberty. The enemy comes against us to rob us of our true identity. We are love. This is who we are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Exalt you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before I close this broadcast, I'd like to take a moment for those of you who have not said yes to that knock at the door of your heart. That's Jesus, the love of God, knocking at the door of your heart. If you want to experience this love that I've been speaking of, this love that is unconditional, this love that has granted forgiveness of sin by taking on the punishment that you were due and declared you as being free. So, it's simple. Just ask him to come in. Acknowledge that you need him as Lord and Savior. Ask Jesus to come and live inside your heart, to lead and guide you in this broken world. Find that liberty that only comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not that you won't have trials and tribulations, because in this earth, the condition of the earth right now, there's a guarantee that there will be trials and tribulations. There are many people around us who don't know the Lord, and they're broken people. They're hurting people. And hurting people hurt people. But the Lord says that you can be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. So he has opened up a door for you to step into that empowers you to be able to walk through the circumstances, the trials that you will face in this life, and come through as a victor. Glory to God. Amen and amen. So welcome to the family of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are the bride, and he's coming back for us soon. Yes, soon and very soon. Glory to God. Thank you so much for spending time again with me this Thursday afternoon. And for those of you who are listening to the podcast at a later time, thank you for joining me. Amen. And God willing, I'll be back next week as we continue on this journey of elevation in love. I believe I originally said that there are three parts to this series, but there's actually five parts to the series. So we've got two more parts to look forward to. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Be blessed the rest of this day. Walk in the confidence of knowing that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He is faithful when we are faithless. Because he loves us. He loves us. Amen. God bless you.